Roman letter and the 16th chapter. That's where we'll begin our study, Romans chapter 16. Good to have some visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bibles and study with us. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you kindly show me where I was wrong, I'll make the proper correction. If you think I've stated something in a way that's unbecoming of a Christian, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that has been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready, that you can come forward and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. We've been making a study on Sunday night, and we come to the final lesson in our series on the heart of man as the beloved Paul had described it in the Roman letter. I hope that this study has helped us understand some of the truth in regard to the heart of man and eliminate some false theories and teachings that some have come up with, and tonight I hope our lesson will do the same. In the Roman letter and the 16th chapter, in verse 17, notice the statement by Paul as he's nearing the conclusion of his epistle. He said, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." I would like for you tonight to look at the last statement that Paul makes in the reading that we just read. Paul is concerned about the heart of man, and at this particular point in the epistle, he is concerned with those who can be deceived. And underscore the phrase, deceive the hearts of the simple. And I want you to note that Paul, as he brings this letter to a close, is warning against false teachers, individuals that teach false doctrine. And the church had not been on an easy road even at this particular time. And false teachers had come in amongst them and had taught things contrary to the doctrine of Christ. And what I'd like for us to do is note what Paul said about such, then make application and the lesson is yours. The first thing I want you to take note of is that when the Apostle Paul talks about the heart of the simple, don't let that word simple fool you. What he's talking about is the unsuspecting. That here is an individual that as they're sitting there or as they're going by in their walk of life, that somebody comes in with a teaching, leads them astray. The person that teaches them might have a motive to teach them that particular doctrine. And whatever the motive may be, it's not the truth of God. It doesn't come from God's Word. And thus they are led astray. And Paul is warning that there are some people out there that have the intention of deceiving others, and they go after those who are naive, or they have a simple heart, an undiscerning heart, an unsuspecting heart. And thus somebody comes to their door, knocks on their door, hands them a pamphlet, and teaches them something, but it doesn't come from the Bible. It's not God's Word. Now, they may use the Bible in some way, but what they're teaching is not in harmony with what God has revealed to man through the Word. So the thing I want to get into our mind is there are some people who are willing to accept something and not look at it for themselves. I always ask people, and if you notice in almost every study, before I begin to preach, I encourage you to get your Bible. I want people to be able to take their Bible and look at their Bible and say, yes, that's what the preacher said. The preacher got that from the Bible. He didn't twist it. He didn't try to deceive me. He didn't try to use flattering words or smooth words to teach something that I disagree with, but he's trying to teach the truth of God. I always encourage men and women, get their Bible and put their finger on the passage and say, thus it is written. And so here is Paul talking to individuals that could have been easily deceived. But then notice something else, if you will. Paul talks about these false teachers. And notice what Paul says about them. He says to note, or as the King James Version says, mark those who cause divisions. Underscore cause divisions. And notice that Paul has the thought that here are some that have come in amongst the body and they're causing divisions. And the first thing he says you do is mark them, or you note them. You look at them. You behold them. In other words, you don't close your eyes against people that's teaching error, but you're going to have to take a stand against error because they can deceive the hearts of others. And he said, you keep an eye on them. Now in Titus chapter 1, he said that's what the elders need to do. Elders need to make sure that what is being taught is the truth and to shut the mouths of false teachers. So here in the Roman letter, Paul is saying, you mark them, you note them that are teaching error. But then notice something else. He said you're to avoid them. Notice, if you will, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. Why would you avoid them? To be rude? No. Are you doing it to try to act like you're better? No. To be unkind? No. Why? Because they are teaching error, and what you're doing is breaking fellowship. What you're doing is showing you're not in agreement with the error they teach. And so if somebody comes amongst us and they're teaching an erroneous position, they're teaching something that is false, we are to do two things: mark them and avoid them. Now, why do we mark them and why do we avoid them? Like we said, not to be rude or unkind, but because of what they can cause. Look at what Paul said. They can cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. They can cause a church to be split. A false teacher can come in and cause the body of Christ to be torn asunder. And these, my friends, are within local churches. If you take your Bible this evening, turn with me to the book of Acts and the 20th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 20th chapter, notice, if you will, what Paul said to the elders of Ephesus when he meets with them on the island of Miletus. In verse 28, he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. Oh, that's important. Look at yourself first. Then he said, and to all the flock amongst which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, shepherd the church. What's a shepherd do? Guides them, leads them. And he says, you shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now watch what he says in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, amongst the eldership, men will arise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Now watch what he says. Verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. Paul said, you be on guard against the ravages wolves. You be on guard and you watch for them. And he said, you do so by what? Being, as he said in verse 32, commended to you the word of his grace. You use the word to battle false doctrine. Then if you take your Bible, look in the Galatian letter for just a moment. And when you come to the Galatian letter and the first chapter, look at what Paul says in verse 6. In verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Christ, who called you in the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another. There's only one good news. Anything else that has been altered or adulterated or perverted or changed is not good news. Any doctrine that man has got a hold of and changed even just a minute little bit, a scintilla, if it's been changed at all. I'll tell you, my friend, that that's not what God is wanting man to hear. He wants the truth to be preached in purity and simplicity. He wants the truth to be taught in its completion. And Paul is saying, there's no other gospel but one in verse 7. He said, there is no other. There are some who trouble you. They want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That means change it. Change it from its natural use. Then what does he say? But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we preach to you, let him be accursed. That's the word anathema. I'll tell you, that's a scary thought. Let him be accursed. But then when you think about the next phrase, he says it again. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you've received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Do you recognize tonight that the gospel is to persuade men and not to persuade God? God has given us the good news of the gospel that through His Son our sins can be forgiven, that through the cross we can be children of God, that we can be His children with an inheritance. But the gospel is to change man. I'll tell you what, there are people in Shelbyville, Tennessee trying to do, like they're trying to do in Nashville, Tennessee, and all around the world, they're trying to change God's mind. And God said, no, I'm not changeable. In Malachi, it says God does not change. So if I do not change to conform to the will of God, then it's I who am lost. And so here, Paul is warning about dividing the body. And what a tragedy. In every age, it seems it comes up something that'll divide a church. There's nothing new under the sun. And yet, as a result, the wrong ones are blamed. The false teachers look like lambs, but they're ravenous wolves. You ever notice, my friend, in Matthew 7, when Jesus was teaching about that? Look at what he said. In Matthew 7:15, he said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. He's not going to come up to you and say, I'm a ravenous wolf. He's trying to eat you. He's not going to come up and say, I'm a false teacher. He's trying to lead you in a way that's false. And Paul and Jesus both warn against ravenous wolves that can tear the body of Christ asunder. But going back to the Roman letter and the 16th chapter, look at what they teach, their false doctrines. Things contrary to what they've learned. But note how they do it, with smooth speeches and flattery words and overflowing love. And they're deceptive. They'll tell you things like, you don't have to worry about ever losing your salvation. All you have to do is say a prayer in your heart and you'll always be saved. That sounds good, doesn't it? But I can't find it in my Bible. Or they'll say things like, hell's not eternal, and if you don't make it to heaven, there's no need to worry. Sounds good, doesn't it? I heard a man one time make a statement. He had been living an ungodly life, and he said, is there a hell? He said, there could be. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. Right now, I'm on my time. And I'm going to live the way I want to live. Now, I may answer for it in a judgment, but right now, this is my time. And basically, he just spurned what God had told him. And you know what, my friend? He may live it up and laugh at God, but in the day of judgment, he won't laugh. The man that makes a mockery of God needs to remember the fact that Galatians 6 says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will also reap. But that brings up something else. Look at why some people are led to teach false doctrine. It serves, he says in verse 18, their own belly. In other words, they obey not God, but serve their own lust. They're looking out for themselves. They really are not serving God, but they're hypocritical. They're wanting God to adjust His will to their will. And there are people tonight who don't want to obey God unless it's on their terms. I want to tell you something. You're nothing more than a speck of dust that God has created, and therefore we submit to His will. We have no right to demand God to submit to ours. We all are going to go back to the dust. There's not a one of us who's going to outlive death unless He comes again. Every one of us will go back to the grave. And because of that, we need to realize our Creator deserves our respect, our reverence, and our submission to His will. You think about people today who've been deceived by error from without, and they've left the faith, they've gone into sectarian works. Sectarian preachers have deceived their hearts. We've been deceived in local churches over what can be put into the budget. We've made the local church almost anything but what it's supposed to be. In some places, it's more of a recreation center than it is a place to come and worship. But I'll tell you, my friend, we all need to be on guard lest we become deceived. Because I've got friends that I went to school with who I thought would never leave the faith, and right now they're so far out in left field you wouldn't believe. And I must think about myself, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:12, he who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. Why? Because I can be deceived. Well, how do I do it? By watching and being careful and making sure that those that are teaching the truth, and that they're not smooth speakers in sheep clothing, that they're not just speaking flattery words to pervert the word of the Lord, that they take it out of context. I want to make sure what they teach is true, and that they don't have a desire to fulfill their own lust, but they're trying to save the soul of the person out here, and the person out here, and the person out here. They're teaching the truth because they're concerned about eternity. And I must be on guard lest they divide the body. There comes a time you have to withdraw and avoid people. Because if you don't, it will splinter the whole church. I've had people get mad at me and the elders here and at other places I've been because people have been marked and withdrawn from. But my friend, if it wasn't done, it would have split the body. And that's why Paul said there comes a time. That way they can't blindside anyone and deceive them with flattering words. Paul said, I don't care who he is, you're to mark him and avoid him if he's teaching something contrary to God's word. Paul was concerned about the heart of man. I'm concerned about the heart of man. When you have a tender, sincere heart that desires the truth, then I'll tell you what you have. You'll have somebody who will look at God's word, put their finger on the passage and say, this is what God said, therefore I'll do it. And they won't complain about it. But they see what Jesus was willing to do to save their soul, and they won't argue, but they'll submit themselves to His will. And what we want to do tonight is, if you're here not a child of God, our desire is that you would submit to the will of God. Not be fooled by deceptive teachers, but put your finger on a passage and say, this is what God has said. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you.